The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Ramona Shelton, Sarah Spain, Frank Isola, and appearing on his first career show, Harry Lyles Jr. Welcome, Harry.
Fire!
Good to be here.
Today, Lamar Jackson, a game that has never before been had in NFL history. So that's pretty good. And there's Kyrie Irving news, and there's Ben Simmons news. The two are not linked right now, but maybe on his first career show, Harry Lyles Jr. will say, Irving for Simmons. Let's make a trade. Let's go.
The Nets will do it. Harry should run the Nets front office now. That's a trade.
Harry Lyles Jr. joins us from Atlanta, Georgia. Our first panelist based there. And he's born and raised Georgia State educated. Evansville, Indiana by roots. SB Nation is the work he put in to get here. Now you see him co-hosting Countdown to Game Day Live, and he's on the sidelines every week for college football. Harry, give us your life story in 7 seconds or less. Don't leave anything out.
Listen, I grew up consuming too much sports. If I wasn't here, I don't know what I'd be doing, but it wouldn't be good.
Do you know how this show works, Harry? I don't even know how this show works. There's your first mute. Let's go around the horn. Just a little over a week ago, John Gruden was coach of a 3-0 first-place team. Now, the stunning and swift professional degradation with the leaking of his racist, homophobic, bigoted, sexist emails. The emails from 2011 to 2018, from when he was broadcasting for this network, ESPN, uncovered in the investigation into Washington football. So, who saw them then? Who saw them now? How they became public now? All questions that get to a larger place, and it's about the culture of the NFL. Harry Lyles Jr., right out of the gate to you. This is your first topic. Your initial thoughts on Gruden, and in what way do you believe this speaks to the larger cultural issues with football?
I think there's a lot of levels here. I think the one thing that we kind of have to look at here is the NFL, I don't necessarily think, cares about the issues that they've painted on the field, right? It takes all of us and racism. This was a we can't win the PR battle move, right? Because we had the comments that he had that were racist towards DeMaurice Smith. The Raiders sat on him for a couple days. The NFL sat on him for a couple of days. And it wasn't until last night that we got him disparaging other groups of people where they decided, hey, we can't do this anymore. And so they removed him. I think that this speaks to the larger culture of the NFL because he felt comfortable enough to where he could say these things over email, right? This wasn't a phone call. This wasn't a conversation in a room. He said these things over email and felt comfortable enough to where he was not going to be challenged on those things. And I think that that speaks to the larger issue here and that this is the culture that is in the NFL.
Sarah Spain will bring you in here.
Yeah, I think it's clear that they couldn't retain Gruden. There was no way to come back from that. And that's in part because of what Harry just said, right? We at least have taken the first step of saying that publicly we're not allowed to feel this way about things. Privately, he could be representative of so many other people in the NFL. There are 650,000 emails that were studied for this investigation into the Washington football team. And guess who's we didn't see? Any of the owners? The commissioner, Goodell, what we saw was a coach who is someone who receives a paycheck, not the person who really runs the league and doles out the paychecks. I don't know who leaked this. I'm interested in that aspect because it sure doesn't make the NFL look good to know this is within their ranks because it wouldn't be a surprise to hear this from many other people at the top of this league. You're just not allowed to get caught saying it. What I want to know is, was it the Raiders trying to get out from under an albatross of a contract? Was it the NFL who were mad because Goodell didn't like how he was disparaged in particular? That's the next part of this. And where are the rest of these 600,000 plus emails where there are other people probably saying the same things or at least agreeing and laughing along with him?
Ramona Shelburne.
You know, I actually read it as the NFL leaking because generally speaking, whoever leaks it is the one who has the most to gain from it, but also the most to hide by leaking it and getting ahead of a story that they're protecting somebody on. And the Raiders, they were shown these emails last Friday. Okay, when the story comes out in the Wall Street Journal last Friday, the first story with the disparaging comments about D'Amore Smith, he kind of got a slight rebuke. He didn't get fired, and he had some Raider greats came out and spoke on his behalf, and Tim Brown and Josh Jacobs came out and said, you know, he's never been that way to me. And so he looked like he was going to survive this. And I think there was this whole trove of emails that the Raiders knew were still out there. The NFL had got the results of this investigation last week, and they knew they were out there. So I'm surprised that they didn't do something about it Friday. And clearly, when you don't do something about it, somebody, whoever is the motivated leaker, is going to do something about it for you the next time. And I think that's what's happened here. So to me, this does make the NFL look a little better in the sense that they took action and Gruden's out of the league now. What I want to know is what you said, Sarah. Whose emails have we not seen? There's 650,000 emails in that Washington football team investigation that we did not see. The only ones we saw were from John Gruden.
Frank Isola.
And let's remember, too, Mark Davis, who owns the Raiders, his dad, Al Davis, was always fighting with the league office and the commissioner, dating all the way back to Pete Rozelle. And in this, you know, in a situation like this, there's no coming back from if you're John Gruden. I think all of us have probably had emails, if we looked at them from 10 years ago, it might make us blush, maybe makes us cringe a little bit, but this is beyond the pale. So this is a different level. But, you know, everyone's brought up this point. There are over 650,000 emails. You mean to tell me that it's only John Gruden who's used this kind of language, who's only used, who has said things in there that would incriminate him, possibly get him fired? I find that a little hard to believe. This is only the tip of the iceberg, which really now, it's a separate investigation, but it's almost becoming an email scandal.
So do you believe there needs to be an investigation here? Harry, you could start there.
Yeah, I think so. And one other thing that I also want to address here is that I think for the people who are like, well, should he lose his job over things that he said many years ago? And I think that's a fair question. I think there's a couple of questions that you have to ask yourself about that, though, is did he show that he was remorseful and truly learn from the things that he said? And I think the answer to that was clearly no. And I think the other thing that people have to look at and ask themselves is, are you as upset with what he said as you are about him losing his job? I think that's a very important piece of
this. And another part is the franchise he works for. This is the franchise that has the first out gay player in the NFL right now, playing in the NFL, and these were anti-gay comments. This is the franchise that had the first black head coach a long, long time ago. And Amy Trask, one of the great leading female executives in league history as well. Last word, Sarah Spain.
Yeah, I would also say it wasn't just 10 years ago, right? It was over the course of 7 years. That's not someone who would seem to figure anything out. I think we had to hold people accountable and stop blaming cancel culture for when you're a bigoted, homophobic, misogynist, racist. The list goes on. You check every box. You don't get to just say, whoops, my bad. More importantly, I do think when the NFL said that investigation of the Washington football team was only going to be a verbal response because they didn't want to have any of the results written down for the apparently to protect the women involved, what we actually do is we're going to offer you the ability to protect everybody involved so we can investigate certain things. And that's why I don't know if we'll get all of those emails to come out. We might not.
Thanks for your thoughts on this. We're going to move on right here to the Monday Night Football thriller. And there's a sense here that this was a moment for Lamar Jackson. Final was 31-25 in overtime. It was a 16-point fourth quarter comeback for Jackson. It was 442 yards passing, 499 yards in total offense, 86% completion. No player in NFL history ever had 86% when he threw the ball as much as he did. Carson Wentz had an incredible night also, but to the victor go the spoils. Harry, let's start you off with this topic now. What did Lamar Jackson prove last night?
Lamar Jackson proved that he should be in the MVP conversation. He is clearly still the player that we saw in his MVP year. And I think the bigger thing here, though, that Lamar did prove is that he has gotten more mature as a player. You're not able to lead a comeback of that caliber unless you have that kind of maturity. When you're young like that, like, yes, you can, you know, put up all the yards and passing touchdowns and things like that that you want, but it takes a mature player to be able to lead a comeback in that manner. I don't care that it came against a bad Colts team. You have to have that kind of moxie to do it. Now, I think another thing here of note is that every single time Lamar has a game like this, we do not need to turn it into, see, he can throw. Pretty good for a wide receiver. This, that, and the other. We don't have to do that. Lamar's been too good over the years. He's won an MVP already. He's looking like it again. We don't need to turn these great performances into that he is Lamar Jackson.
You guys, he doesn't even know he said it, right? He doesn't even know what the bad words are.
This
is your first show, your first scored argument, and the first words out of your mouth were bad. Frank Isola, what did Lamar Jackson prove last night?
Well, he's proved a lot. He certainly has a special quality to him. And I go back to that game a couple of weeks ago against Detroit. You know, that 4th and 19, that showed you everything you need to know about the guy. Poise, accuracy. That's my one thing, Harry. I think you're right. We know that Lamar Jackson's a great player, but the accuracy certainly has improved. Tony mentioned it. First player in NFL history to complete 85% of his passes and over 400 yards in a game. My only issue, though, with Baltimore, this is not the formula to win all the time, to fall behind and then rely on for you to make a 66-yard kick and the opponents to miss, you know, get a kick block and then miss a makeable field goal. But again, Lamar Jackson, MVP isn't what he's in for. It's to win a Super Bowl, and that still has to be proved.
Okay, he couldn't do that last night. He just had to do what was on the field for him. Ramona Shelburne, what did Lamar Jackson prove last night, Frank?
86% completion percentage, yeah, Tony. Yeah. Like, I think if you were in practice with people not even tackling, it would be hard to complete 86% of your passes. Like, that two-point conversion at the end there to Mark Andrews, that was Neo in the Matrix level. I mean, I don't know how he fit that in. to me, you got a quarterback and throw it deep with accuracy. You can get a quarterback and throw it in a tight space with accuracy. You can run. That was one of the most complete games I've ever seen from a quarterback, and it all happened all at the end.
It did, right. It wasn't so complete the first three quarters, yeah. And there's the fumbles. Right. Sarah Spade, did Lamar Jackson prove something to you last night, or are you like grading on a curve like Frank is because he hasn't done it in January?
Right. No, Lamar Jackson certainly did, and I hope that Harry's right, that some of those conversations can end because we've put them to bed, right? Not a wide receiver, can come from behind, can beat the Chiefs, can be a passing quarterback. All of these things hasn't been figured out by the league, which I think was this year's version of it. So all of those things are great. Lamar Jackson is incredible. Accounted for 499 of the Ravens' 523 yards. 499 of 523. Unbelievable. But the only thing I'll say is that Frank isn't entirely wrong about what he said.
Uh-oh, what's happening
this
here?
This is a team, not him, but the team itself should not have to come back from down to a bad Colts team like that. They shouldn't need
and
him
Detroit.
To amount to 500 of their yards. They need to be more complete if we want to see them actually, as a team, do bigger things, because they haven't really beaten anyone
did
that
she
great.
Just say
in
Frank's not entirely wrong?
The Chiefs team, it doesn't look that good.
When you see, Harry, I'm right.
When Mahomes comes back,
what
everybody's like, how does Patrick Mahomes do it? When Lamar Jackson comes back, you guys are like, oh, wait
find
a second, why does he have to come back?
He's been to two Super Bowls.
Listen to you people.
I just can't get over Sarah and Frank on the
that
same argument.
Yeah,
get
over there. Hey, Harry, do you have any idea the banned word that you said? Any idea?
I said the C word, right? Conversation.
Oh, he said it again! He said it again! Oh, no, what did he say?
No, that's not fair.
Buy or sell next.
Around the Horn is presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Raucous, Red Sox, ruckus after running the Rays out. Whether this series will always be remembered for the ground rule double in Game 3 is up for you people to decide, but Boston did come out mashing yesterday, and Clutch Kike closed the coffin with clout. Sarah, how did Boston pull this off, and how should Tampa feel about this season getting away from them?
Yeah, tough with a record-breaking number of wins, but they could not keep up with Red Sox hitting. They hit 341 for the series. They only struck out 26 times. And after that bad force game for them, they chased the Tampa Bay pitchers after the third in every single game after that. It was just better hitting, beating pitching.
Junior, what are you buying? What are you selling from this series?
I'm buying Alex Cora's job here. He came into the season with questionable starting pitching, and he's done some incredible gymnastics with that bullpen. Alex Cora coming back here, he's done a great job with that
team. Frank Isola.
After game one, the Red Sox outscored Tampa Bay 26-15. Tampa does not have good enough starting pitching. You can get away with the great bullpen in the regular season, but in the playoffs, you need your starters to go at least five innings. But I feel bad for Tampa. They won 100 games, and then they have to beat a team that they beat all season in their division. You got to, MLB needs to come up with a better system.
You're here, Frank. Come up with a better system right now.
All right, I'm going to give it to you. Either have them play the White Sox or the Astros, or allow them to pick their opponent. Why not do that? I just beat the Red Sox all year. Well, now I got
to
beat them again.
Their opponent, Frank Isola, the Bachelor. I like where you're going here. And Ramona Shelburne.
You know, I feel bad for the Rays, and you're right about that, Frank, with their bullpen. But in the end, it does come down to a weird play. Okay, Boston gets a runner on. They bunt him over to second. And then there's a squibber down the third base line. Diaz picks it up. It's a very tough play. Bounces it to first. Choi does a good job to keep in front, but instead of two outs and a runner on third, there's now one out, and that's a sacrifice fly. How do you call that?
Vince Scully over here.
Baseball.
Yeah, you're giving us the play-by-play, Momo, the game cast.
They came back from five
once,
runs down.
Once a player, always a player, Ramona. You see the game in plays. I like it. All right, fire cell two. Whether the wind decided Dodgers-Giants last night. Wind reeking and wrecking ruination all game. But it's this moment here. Game's on the line. I mean, the Dodgers are down to their last out. Gavin looks, unloads on one to tie the game, but it dies. Ramona, did the win really decide this game, or is it possible the Giants were better?
Okay, I'm going to tell you a story last night, Tone. I was out in Westwood. I was at a movie screening. I'm on the phone. It was so windy in L.A., and it wasn't just that Santa Ana wind, which is nice and warm. It was icy and chilly, and like it was like Deus Ex Machina. There's no wind in L.A. like this was.
Okay, I appreciate your representation on the weather. You told us you were at a movie screening, and I'm asking you about the baseball game that was played. Next big question, what you know about the baseball game that was played. Sarah Spade.
Well, as a resident of the Windy City, I'm an expert on wind. As a former resident of Los Angeles, I'm an expert. Thank you. I'm an expert on how much weather affects Angelinos. So, yes, of course, they experienced a tiny bit of an inconvenience and they fell apart. It also could be that the Giants are a better team, even just by one game. And that's what they played last night, one game.
Lyle?
Look, I think it's fine to say that it was a factor. You could even say it was the deciding factor. However, you can only play the games on your schedule and the condition in which those games are being played.
Only play the games on the schedule. Hmm. What other games? I don't know. Banned word. There we go.
Yeah.
It's happening. Yes.
New banned word.
Frank Isola, how about you?
Hang on a second. Is the wind a lame Ramona excuse, or is that Bill Plaschke's column blaming it on the wind? They had five hits. They walked two times. It's not a home run hitting contest. You're allowed to hit the ball on the ground. You can manufacture runs. How about giving the Giants a little bit of credit?
There you go.
The wind.
All right.
Come on.
Ramona, please.
It was the wind. He hit it 106 miles an hour.
The Giants played in the same wind.
22-degree launch angle. Of the Dodgers had four of those this year. All four were home runs in Major League Baseball.
The expected batting average. You're not wrong. Expected batting average is almost 900 on that hit. But it died. We'll move on. Buy or sell three. News of the day from Brooklyn. Nats announcing Kyrie Irving will not play or practice with the team until he's eligible to be a full participant. Frank Isola, what does this mean?
Kevin Durant came to Brooklyn. He left the Warriors to play with Kyrie Irving. There's always way too much drama with Kyrie. To me, this opens the door for them to trade him. And I'll, since Harry didn't say it yet, I'll say, why not Kyrie for Ben Simmons?
Oh, all right. Oh. Well, there it is. Oh. Here, let's buy or sell Kyrie for Ben Simmons, or buy or sell the Nets' decision to put Kyrie to the side for now. Harry Lyles?
I'm buying putting him to the side. Look, the Nets were a Kevin Durant big toe and a couple of injuries away from the finals last year. Having somebody that's halfway in, you can't have that. This is their time to win a title, get in or get out.
Sarah Spain?
Yeah, it's a very complicated situation with a very simple answer. If you can only play half our games, you can't practice with us, and we set some sort of precedent that you're a star so you don't have to actually be a part of the team all the time? Absolutely not. This was their only answer, and probably trading him will be the next answer.
Mona.
Look, James Harden made Kyrie Irving expendable for the Nets. I mean, if James Harden's not there and he's not playing like he did last year, he was basically an MVP until he got hurt. I don't know that they would take the stance, but they can do this now because they have James and Kevin.
Let's pull the string a little bit more, though. Ben Simmons for Kyrie. One guy doesn't want to be in one place, and Kyrie Irving, you know, ostensibly could play every game.
It actually would help both teams.
Not in the playoffs, depending on where they go.
Yeah, that is tough, too.
True.
Well, I believe you have to play the people who are on your schedule. I believe that was said, wasn't that? Oh, my goodness, Lyles Jr. You're inventing banned words, but you made it to Showdown on your first show.
We like that.
And you're staring down Frank Isola next.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Around the Horn is presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
Harry Lyles Jr. trying to do what Ramona Shelburne, what Sarah Spain, and what Frank Isola couldn't do, win their first show. And all time, Isola 0-4 versus rookies in Showdown. Let's go, NHL opening night. I am a sucker for all league music. Yeah. This is what we have tonight. Penguins, Lightning, Kraken, Golden Knights. Harry Lyles Jr., for your one Showdown to victory in your debut. Which NHL matchup intrigues you more, the two-time defending champ Lightning or the new league's newest team, Seattle Kraken?
I'm looking forward to the Kraken. New team. Seattle's a great sports town. It's great that they're getting another franchise. My Atlanta Thrashers haven't lost since 2011. I'm going to adopt the Kraken. Love the branding. Love everything about it. And I am going to have the expectations that the Golden Knights did getting to the Stanley Cup Final in their first year. I'm expecting it.
That's right. And that's why Seattle's in an impossible situation, because Las Vegas set the standard for expansion teams. But I'm looking forward to Tampa. They're going to raise the banner. And guess what? Our very own Emily Kaplan will be the ringside reporter tonight.
Yes.
So good luck to her. Don't get hit with a puck.
We want her to get a little bit, get in the action a little bit, but I'll give Emily the point. Thank you for bringing that up, Frank Isola. Stat of the day, Atlanta Thrashers haven't lost since 2011. Harry Lyles Jr., congratulations. Your first career win.
Man, October 12th is a very special day to me. It is my mother, Gloria's birthday, the pride of Lorain, Ohio. I would not be here without my mom. She's one of the best people, the best person, actually, that I know. And I would not be here without her help. This day is great. I got that Atlanta behind me. Happy birthday, Mom. I love you.
There it is, the first Eddie's FaceTime is for Mom.
Do I crack your top five?
I'm
in your top five,
Hi,
right,
Mom.
Harry?
Congrats. Hey, Lyles.
Happy Hour is presented by DirecTV Stream.